yells and screams and things unseen. It's the Scare Factor Podcast, Season 3.
What's going on, guys? Brian here with the Scare Factor Podcast, welcoming you back to another week of the best podcast on the planet, according to ChatGPT. Joining me this week is Joanna of Team Zombillies, somewhere in the Midwest. How's it going, Joanna?
It's going well.
Great.
It's hot outside, but yeah, that's
yes,
about it.
Yes, it is. It sure is. Also joining me this week is the other usual suspect, Tiffany. Tiffany, how's it going?
Hi. It's going really good.
Tiffany.
Also here in the Midwest. Really hot.
Yes, also in the Midwest. We're not sure what team you're really a part of these days, so...
I'm still Terra Techies. It's just Terra Techies went mobile this year.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. No, that makes sense. That's fine. It works on a few levels. So, question for you both. Danny DeVito, smash or pass?
Pass.
Why?
I'm going to say smash.
I need your reasoning now from both of you.
Well, he's a funny guy, you know? Funny guys are attractive.
Tiffany, what say you?
He's a funny guy. Funny guys are terrifying.
I'm going to say smash because it's Danny DeVito.
Yeah. I just right. see the penguin coming after, you know, like.
Oh, jeez.
Actually, I was thinking more like Danny DeVito and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you know, just offering me a nice egg in these trying times. So this week we are talking about actor safety. Are haunt owners doing enough to stop disruptive and abusive guests? Just before we even get into that, what do you guys think? Yes or no? Are they doing enough?
I know that they try. Let's go ahead and like say that. There's new issues like that arise, I feel, like what you could pick up in like news and different like escalations that happens like across the nation. But again, like my experience, like working in and working a part of like the management team, like we do a lot of kind of like training and trying to prepare and be ready for every situation, and unruly guest is one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of, I think it depends on where they are too, in like their locations. I've been thinking about it, and I think most haunts that have a big police presence are haunts that are, you know, in like a city or downtown area. But if you go to like those haunts that are kind of out in the country, you don't see as much of a police presence. And if they don't have a police presence, they have some kind of security. But I've never seen, I've seen some unruly guests in my past, and they, anytime I've seen anything arise, even going through a haunt or working at a haunt, it seems like every time I see it, there's some kind of way to de-escalate the problem. So.
Okay. Yeah. I think that, you know, for the most part, haunts are making an effort on some level. However, I think certain haunts could be doing a little more to either stop or reduce the abusive or disruptive guests. You know, I think abusive guests, yeah, for the most part, I think haunts have a pretty good handle on how to deal with that. But disruptive guests, I think, is where the problem lies, and not enough haunts are taking measures to reduce that, I think. You know, and I think, like, in terms of really obnoxious teenagers who are ruining other people's good time, you know, they're,
yeah,
you know, and it's not that they're necessarily doing anything wrong. They're just being really obnoxious, and they're being teenagers, and like, that's great. Go do your thing over there, you know, because you're bothering me by being idiots and fighting with each other while you're standing in line. And if I'm standing in line with my kid and you bump into us, like, one of us is going to the hospital and the other one of us is going to prison, and I'll let you decide who goes where.
Yeah, that's a big problem in amusement parks too. I don't know how much you guys follow amusement parks and everything, but a lot of amusement parks have like Cedar Fair especially have curfews where, like, after I think it's like 4 o'clock, you have to be over a certain age or have a you have someone with you that's over a certain age, a chaperone, to, because it's been so bad at amusement parks with the fighting and just kids like starting stuff. And I think it's just them either, you know, with TikTok and how popular that is, them showing off to like their peers or whatever. But I mean, it's a big problem. And I know, even Haunt at, Kings Island, that's my local park. They, a few years ago, they stopped allowing bags in. Like, you can't even bring a bag after certain, when Haunt starts around six. So, yeah, I mean, going along with that, they try to implement rules, but I mean, you never know. Something could still happen. They try to do something to prevent it, but you never know with how people are and everything and such like that.
Yeah. And I totally agree with that. And I think that's a good first step, you know, for amusement parks specifically. But I think the problem there is, like, I take my daughter to an amusement park once every year. Usually we go to Hershey. Like last year we went to Cedar Point. But I mean, they're both so similar in terms of like the people that are there. And for the most part, it's families, right? It's parents who they're there, but like, you know, are they doing enough to keep their kids in line? Mm-hmm. And but I think the problem is that it doesn't matter what time of day it is. You could have unruly teenagers just all over the place, just causing problems, being idiots, being teenagers in general. So while I think that, yeah, having this curfew after like 4 p.m., you can't be here under the age of 18 without an adult. Well, like, it doesn't matter, because before 4 p.m., you can be there without an adult and you could still be an obnoxious little shit. So, you know, maybe they're onto something. Maybe they need to implement that all day long.
Yeah.
And I don't think there'd be anything wrong with that. Right. So earlier this week, when I brought up the topic of this, I asked you guys a couple of questions. And the first being, overall, how frequently would you say you've seen or experienced another guest at a haunt being disruptive or abusive? And what I mean by that is the unruly teenagers, the super drunk guy who apparently is afraid of his own shadow, the super macho douchebag who's going to punch and break everything that gets in his way, be it an actor or a prop. How frequently do you think you've seen this overall, the entire time you've ever gone to haunts?
It's hard. Working at a haunt, like, it's something like, oh yeah, we have to deal with that every night. As of like attending, that's where I'm just kind of like, I think it would be like, I think it would be something like more like every other time that I go to a haunt. Maybe I could catch another guest being disruptive or abusive, or definitely, you know, just in general trying to like wreck the show in one way or another. But I know it's something like nightly, working in a haunt and having all those people go through, like, you see it. There's someone every single night. Two of my haunts, we had beer gardens. And so actually one had a beer garden and then the other one was connected to a bar. So having like drunk guests was quite popular, for better or worse. And so sometimes we're really great. Others, exactly like what you said, is that you just had someone that was drunk that decided that they weren't scared of anything. And in not being scared of anything, they would like actually like assault the actors, or they'll tear down sets or whatever. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. Joanna, what about you?
Yeah, I agree with her. I volunteered for a haunt a couple years and it was a full contact haunt. So that means that the actors could grab and everything. Most of the time, everybody participated. They were good about it. There were a few people that, you know, they would, that's why, the haunt that I worked at, they advised all the guys to wear cups to protect, you know what, because some people are, you never know how somebody's going to react when they get grabbed. I mean, some people don't read the rules on, you know, whatever rules come up and for the haunts, and they don't expect that to happen. And all of a sudden they're grabbed and they have some weird, you know, reflex that they're like, well, I got to fight back, and this guy is grabbing me. So they advise them to do that. A lot of times there was kind of like a first thing, you get a warning, and if you keep being disruptive, you get kicked out kind of situation. So, you know, like if they're being crazy, I mean, as long as they're not doing something terrible, like hurting an actor or something, but like, so like a lot of times there's like people that would come through, like I worked in a room that was Michael Myers themed Halloween, and I was always the victim, and we would decorate the room and we'd like put like, cause we tried to be as kind of, you know, movie authentic as we could, as far as looking at the props and everything. And I'd set everything up, and like constantly people would come through and like they would touch stuff and like touch the props and everything. So we had to try to gorilla glue stuff down, and it didn't really work because people still constantly glue, like would have to mess with stuff. They just wanted to, I don't know why they have to touch everything. So they always advised us to kind of try to glue it down, but it never really worked. So like I said, though, I think a lot of times we kind of had like a first time you get a warning, second, if you're still being super disruptive, you get kicked out. But most of the time, you know, after they get that warning, they're like, oh shit, I got to, you know, I got to act right. And, but if they're drunk, I mean, they kind of don't have that perspective to, they should, you know, be in line. So they might still act up. But like, it, as far as if they hurt an actor, I mean, they're, that's like an immediate out because they can't be hurting actors. It's just, it's like posted on the rules. You're not supposed to touch actors. And if they do it, even if it's an accident, like, or, I mean, like, if they just, like, kind of, like, brush against somebody, it's not a big deal. But if they full force punch somebody or kick them, I mean, they're out. So that's what I've seen. At visiting haunts, I mean, I've seen people get kicked out. I mean, there's hearsay stories of something that happens, people getting disruptive and getting kicked out. But most of the time that, you know, that any of that happens, very professional. There's like a security person that works for the haunt, or there's cops on site that'll take that person and escort them out. And everybody is very professional about it. They're not like throwing somebody around or anything. They're just like, hey, you got to leave. And they take them out. So that's what I've seen, though, in the past.
So quite an answer. And you didn't even answer what I had asked. You actually answered the next question that we're going to get into here in a little bit. The question was, how frequently have you seen people being disruptive or abusive? Like every night, every other night?
Trying to think. I mean, it's not every night. I would say when I was working in the haunt, it would have been probably once every couple weeks in our haunt. When I go through haunts on my own, though, I don't see it often. I mean, it's not as often as Tiff said. So I would say probably every other week I would see something like that. But it's weird because I've heard the, like, you know, the places that serve alcohol and stuff, and I wonder if they have more disruptive guests than regular haunts. And I actually hear that there's more disruptions at haunts that don't serve alcohol than the ones that do. So, but I don't see it like every time I go to a haunt. I definitely don't see people being escorted out or anything. It's just every once in a while from my experience.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's probably pretty close to my experience in terms of frequency. In terms of visiting haunts, you know, it's every now and then I'll run into a group of like 14-year-old boys who are completely unsupervised because their parents are, I don't know, fucking incompetent or something. Or, you know, they've just somehow fucking materialized out of the dirt and grime on the ground, which I assume that's where all teenage boys come from. But working in a haunt, I would say it was not quite every other night. Granted, where I worked, we were only open Fridays and Saturdays, but I would say at least every week there would be one or two, and it could be a little more frequently, just, you know, depending on how the weather was. If it was really nice out, you'd obviously get a lot more people, and with more people, you get more people who could be disruptive. But surprisingly, I've only been at a haunt where I know of an actor getting hurt once, and it was my first season working. An actress on the trail got punched in the face pretty hard, and I don't know if anything got broken, but the guest was tossed out. We always had police on site, so I think the guy was escorted off site and all that. But yeah, we always get like the super drunk guy who is stumbling over and, you know, can barely hold himself up. And I don't know. That seems a little more frequently than, you know, when you're in the country, especially. But yeah, it's visiting haunts. I don't really see it that much, once every now and then, depending on where I go.
The biggest example for us was always the teenage guy showing off for his girlfriend.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And that seems like was the most of the time when we see like disruptions, it's always been that. So,
oh God. Yeah. And it's always the same, isn't it? Hey, babe, watch this. And, you know, and then they wreck some piece of set and their girlfriend's like, oh my God, Chad, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And they never actually like do anything. They're not actually like trying to reprimand this fucking dumbass. Right. They always just sound like they don't understand what's going on. Which I assume is the case, right? I mean, if you're dating a guy that's like really dumb like that, you probably don't know what's going on. So it's college kids, right? And high school kids, and they all kind of group into the same. And I hate to stereotype here. Actually, no, I don't. It's always the kids who play baseball, play football, or play soccer. Usually, the soccer players. I don't know what it is. They're all a bunch of douchebags. Not a single one of them has got a bit of fucking discipline about them. And they always have that stupid fucking shaggy looking Owen Wilson haircut. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. So,
I mean, I played soccer.
Do you have that shaggy ass looking Owen Wilson haircut, though?
No, I have a full
Then you don't
mohawk.
Fall into this cult. You don't fall into the group, okay? But you know exactly who I'm talking about, right? And it's always the boys. It's never the girls, right? The girls just could not care less. The girls always fall into one of two groups. Either they're super duper fucking bored and they don't care who sees it, or they're afraid of everything. Right? Like you go up to the ticket booth and they're like, hey, what's going on? They're like, oh my God, don't hurt me.
Yeah, one story that really sticks out is that like second group. And that was like the first time I got punched in the face. And it wasn't actually like getting punched in the face as an actor at a haunt, but this girl was just coming in and she had one of those retractable mini umbrellas.
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh, those hurt gosh. Going yeah. directly into your face.
Oh no.
And it was just, it was perfect, you know, like in lining and stuff like that. It was just like right on the nose. And oh God. Yeah.
I never got hit personally. I just, my first year I was on this, like in my scene, I was on this bed, like pretending I was dead, but like somebody, like I was all bloody. And sometimes when, the actor in the room, he would like come out of the closet and scare them. Like they would get scared and like fall on my legs. And that was about it. I wasn't a person that grabbed people either. So those people were the ones that would get the repercussions more than I would. So,
I think if you're a line actor, especially if you're a line actor, a cue line actor, cause you have more longer exposure with people.
Yeah.
Or if you are one of those, like you do intimidation scares or, oddly as like a pop out, that one seemed to be the most dangerous because they just like act like you're a jack in a box, like when you go ahead and pop out.
Yeah,
there are definitely some roles that are more, I don't know, encouraging, I guess, if guests are going to be disruptive or like start assaulting actors.
Yeah. It's kind of funny when I worked as an actor, the haunt I worked at was, you know, we don't touch anybody. And it basically, it just boiled down to an insurance reason. But I always said that if I got hit, it was not going to stop there. You'd have a patron on the ground and security would be needed to drag them out. And I always got told like, no, you're not. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to touch any. I'm like, no, if I get punched or if I get hit, you're going to have an injured patron, because I guarantee you they were being disruptive and abusive before they got to me. So that leads me into the second thing here. In the cases that you have seen people being disruptive or abusive, did you see anything being done about those guests? Were they getting tossed out? Are they being reprimanded? Are parents being found and yelled at to, you know, keep a fucking eye on their kids? Because goddamn, what the fuck are you doing? Sitting here drinking wine, being a bitch?
So I have many stories about this topic. So I'm like, oh, this one time when. So I've definitely seen people get thrown out of haunts. I was one of those that threw somebody out. Could tell you that story in a second. But I think the most frequent thing that we had when I was like a manager was having people get lost in the corn, air quote lost, and like start tearing down corn. So then we would have to call security to just like yoink them out. Okay. But yeah, the one that I ended up throwing out was I was on top of an autopsy table. And I had power drill doctor, and a guest ended up grabbing my arm and yoinking me like off of the table. So I ended up picking up the guest, the patron, and just kept hitting them against all of the 2x4s I knew there were on the way out. Don't suggest this, nor do I actually really want to admit this on the podcast, but
it's a safe place, Tiffany. Nobody actually listens to us anyway.
But it was just one of those things is that I was so annoyed, like so very annoyed. And it was the fact like I think I was the second actor that night that they would have encountered. And it was just, yeah. It was a combination of a lot of things, but I definitely remember them protesting, except they were out of the haunt so fast. They were out like talking to the line actor, trying to figure out what happened and why they were no longer in the haunt. And so then they asked me to explain why I threw them out and explain that they pulled me off of the table. And yeah.
Yeah, I think it could have gone a lot worse for them.
Maybe if it was like somebody else, sure. I don't really know. It's definitely like that was also kind of, I think it was you, Brian, that just said it. That whole entire mentality of, well, if they're doing this to like me and they're at the top of the haunt, like they're going to go ahead and go through and like assault other actors through the haunt. And that was like really grilled into like your head, particularly like as a veteran actor of just like, no, tell security immediately. Like if they brush against you or anything like that, like if they're literally like pulling you down on something or if they're punching you and punching, you know, like your scene partners and stuff like that or tearing down sets, like you go immediately to the walkies and, you know, get a hold of security or management and get that person out. But there's something else that I could think that we had like no tolerance for was if guests were being disruptive or abusive to other guests, like that was instant. So we kind of had something that Joanna was talking about where, you know, like, okay, if what they're doing isn't really like that bad, for example, like taking corn cobs off of corn stalks and throwing them at their friends or whatever, like they would just get like a warning type of thing, as opposed to like if the same like scenario, but they were just like throwing it at like random people. It would be a difference between like a warning and just immediately like, nope, you're done, you're out. And so that was something that we kind of would encounter. And it's kind of a little bit like what makes it hard of like, you see anything done to those guests? And I was like, yeah, it just matters to the nth like degree that of what they're doing. A lot of haunts, like, I mean, places that I've worked and even places that I've been in, they don't really have that much tolerance once you start affecting like the show itself or other people, other guests.
Right. And that's, and I guess that that kind of leads into another question too, is because these are paying guests, right? Do you think that haunts can sometimes be apprehensive about throwing somebody out? Because I mean, that's a source of income for the haunt, right? I mean, that's where your money comes from. So do you think that in certain cases, haunts are like, I don't know if we should go talk to this guy, or, you know, what should we do here? And especially in a case where they're not necessarily hurting other people, they're just being super fucking annoying. Like, do you think that there's, like, what do you think the threshold is for a haunt to go, okay, we need to go do something about this?
Honestly, I've had haunts. It's kind of like the fact of like, yo, we do this, like, we do this like prattle of listing off of the rules of the haunt, or we do this kind of like, it's on the tickets, it's on the website. And so if it goes against those rules, even if you are a paying customer, it's just kind of used as like this disclaimer of, if you violate these rules, you violate essentially being a customer and therefore forfeit your money, your admission that you took in. I think that's a pretty common one. Like, I've seen it both as a guest and then also worked for haunts that that was the mentality of, if you violate those rules, do not touch the actors, do not touch the props, they will not touch you. Yeah, that's what they kind of lean into.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like I said before, it's mostly, you know, they kind of review what happens. I mean, most haunts have cameras where they can watch people going through haunts and they can see if they're being unruly and kind of judge from that. I mean, there's, you know, and then those local haunts that don't have cameras, it's just basically the opinion of the actors, or if they've got like team leads in different sections of the haunt, they can watch people going through and they can get reports from different actors if they're mic'd up or not, or I don't know how, it depends on how the haunt communicates to each other. But if they, you know, if a person is just absolutely, you know, just constantly messing with stuff, touching props, like trying to be, I mean, I think the number one thing to definitely get a kick out, if they touch any actor, I mean, that's just not, I mean, not like brush against them, like you accidentally run in, I mean, it happens, like sometimes you go through like a dark haunt and you just bump into someone, you're like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But someone that intentionally goes through to tries to hurt someone, that's a hard no. I mean, you're not supposed to go through a haunt to do that. I mean, that doesn't make anything fun. So,
right. I think that while you were talking, it was kind of like reminding me of like some of like the different things, of particularly with like the video cameras and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. Like, I know that they're there to like protect the actors and the guests type of thing, and could be used as like a video replay. I've never seen it used as such though. Like, I've never go back to the tapes. Like, I never saw. So it's not that it's bad or anything like that. It's just, it can. And I'm pretty sure like part of the reason is like, one, you have multiple eyes, like witnesses of what's happening, like what you were saying. But also too, like, in a really weird way, I would like, I'm pretty sure they record that, you know, like it's kind of, you know, like security footage at like stores or something like that.
Yeah,
but yeah, I've never known an instance of like, we're going back. Let's go ahead and review.
Which, you know, I mean, like, maybe that's just a case of where the NFL needs to get involved with the haunted house industry, right? We need to go up to the booth to we need to review that last play.
You just see like a yellow flag coming into the haunt from nowhere. Just
right. You hear John Madden like over the PA in the whole haunt. It just, well, there's been a penalty on the play. We're going to find out what's going on here. We think it's excessive line jumping, but we'll go down to the field for review. Right. Tell me that wouldn't be amazing, though.
I mean, I've watched a lot of behind the scenes videos of like haunts, and especially the bigger haunts, and they all have a video system. And they always say, you know, we always have somebody that's monitoring the videos all night, and, you know, all the monitors and everything. It's just like, it's crazy. Like the setups they have. But yeah, like Tiff said, I've never heard that they went back and reviewed any of the footage to see what exactly happened. So I mean, it's good they have it though.
Right.
I think really the only time you'd want to go back to review is in the case of like, now the police have gotten involved, maybe there's they're asking for the footage, so you have to go back to find out where some incident happened. For the most part, that might be the only reason you would really go back, because after it's done and you've dealt with that guest, who really gives a shit? But yeah, so on to my next question here. In the cases where you've seen things happen to guests, right? You know, the yellow flag comes out, John Madden's talking about how there's been a penalty on the play, excessive line jumping, that's going to be 5 yards for the offense. The cases where you've seen things happen, do you think that it's been enough to make the offending patron stop? Or do you think that in some cases, like an obnoxious teenager, they just don't really care? Like, nothing's going to stop them until they get tossed.
Again, this one's like really hard because it's like dependent on like what degree. Most of them, if you get like thrown out of the haunt, again, I haven't really known any guests or patrons to just like linger, you know, and then like cause stuff, even though that they were like kicked out of the haunt itself. Cause that's kind of like the final step that like I know of, at least like anything that I've ever experienced. Some of them, I've seen a lot of, again, shout out to every single line actor. I've seen like line actors as like the first realm of defense to try to like in character, you know, tell guests to like, you know, like knock it off or stop or whatever. And then it kind of escalate from there, but also at the same time, most of the times by time somebody in like a security uniform or, management, that, you know, they're in jackets or whatever, like gets involved and they know that they're going to be thrown out if they keep continuing, then that was like enough. So you didn't actually have to like throw them out, and they tend to be on like really good behavior from like then on out. But it's kind of, again, it's, I can think of different instances where, some, it just didn't work. Like one was that whole corn cob, taking corn cobs and like throwing it at friends, like, hey, stop that. Nope, they continued to do it. And so you had to like keep giving them warnings. And then eventually it was like, well, nope, everybody out of the corn. Like kept throwing it. This person told you not. This person told you not. This other person told you not. We're done. So, it just depends on one, the guest and the behavior itself, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think getting kicked out of the haunt is bad enough. When you spend, what, $30, $40 on a ticket, or, you know, even if you did a fast pass, like $70, whatever, and you get kicked out of a haunt 5 minutes in, I mean, that's got to be rough enough, because you should learn from that, you know? But you just lost all that money. I mean, you broke the rules. You're not going to get your money back. I mean, you get kicked out. That should be enough, you know, kind of a reprimand not to do it again if you go to another haunt. Most haunts that I've seen people get kicked out, they usually just leave. I mean, they might be pissed off about it, but I mean, what can they do? They broke the rules. I mean, they're the ones in the wrong, not the haunt. And I was going to say, you know, like anytime, you know, they leave, they don't do any, I mean, they might go online and write a review, but, or, you know, hopefully they don't, but I mean, the haunt might, you know, respond to that review and say, you know, you did this. This is why you were kicked out of the haunt. So, I mean, it's the age of technology and anybody can like leave a review and, you know, you never know what they're going to do. I mean, I've seen that once happen, but it doesn't happen often. So they'll go on to maybe Google and say, well, I went to this haunt, it sucked. And then the haunt will be like, why did it suck? And they're like, well, I was in, I got kicked out. And they're like, well, you were disruptive. That's why you got kicked out. So, I mean, I don't think they haven't like went after an actor or anything when they've been escorted out of a haunt. I've never seen anything like that. Any kind of person that was being unruly, they're mostly unruly to patrons, other patrons. I actually heard a story in a haunt in Michigan, a pretty well-known haunt. There was these people that line jumped or something, and they got mad at the people in front of them. They didn't take it out of the haunt. It was just on the other people. And they kind of like was, you know, bickering back and forth in line. So then they went through the haunt, and then something else happened, and they ended up like, it was bad. It was just an overall bad situation. I don't want to say what happened. You can look it up, but they didn't do anything to the haunt, but they took it out on each other. So that's what I mostly see though.
Okay. So I remember the thing I was going to ask before, a little bit of a story here. A couple of years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, I went to a haunt that's local to me, and it's in the city, and it's really the only one that's actually in the city of Syracuse. And since 2020, the way they've been running things, and I don't know if they've changed it last year, because I didn't go last year, I don't plan on going this year, but the way they did things for a couple of years during the whole COVID thing was you'd buy a ticket. You could only buy a ticket for all five of their haunts. It used to be before that you could buy like, you could do one, you could do like a couple, or you could do all five, whatever. So now the way they do it is you buy a ticket for all five, and you go, you get in one line, and it goes from attraction to attraction to attraction. So I happened to be there, and it was a little slow. The line wasn't super long, and there's a group of teenagers directly behind me. They had arrived shortly after I did, and they're being loud, they're being obnoxious, they're being teenagers. So I'm ignoring them, and so this girl, another teenage girl from further up in the line, comes back to this group, and she's talking to them and whatever. They must be friends or something. And then she goes, yeah, come on. And this whole group of like 16 teenagers just skipped like 15 people in line. I'm like, what the fuck? So off they go, except for this one dumbass who, I don't know, like maybe he was stoned off his ass, had no fucking idea what was going on. It was clear he was with the group, because he was like standing and joking with them just a few minutes later, but he was just stood there looking like a fucking idiot. So I get up there, it's my turn to go into the haunt, and I mentioned something quietly to the ticket taker, and I go, hey, that group a few minutes ago that went by of all those teenagers, they all cut in line in front of like 15 people. And they're like, oh, nobody. I'm like, yeah, somebody should have said something to you, but yeah. Please, like, get on the radio and do something about this. So I don't know if they did or not. So I start going through the haunt, and all the way through the first like two attractions, the kid behind me is like, he's stepping on my heels. And I don't mean that figuratively. I mean that literally. He was making physical contact. And more than once, I turned around like, dude, back the fuck up. He's like, no, man, it's a problem, dog. I'm just trying to get up to catch up to my friends. I'm like, why didn't you fucking catch up to them when they cut 15 people in line, you stupid piece of shit? And he got all up in my face, and he was trying to be a gangster or whatever. And security obviously noticed the commotion. They're like, what's going on? I'm like, tell this kid to back the fuck up. So I'm upset because it's like, where the fuck is the supervision in this place? Number one, like, how did nobody see this group of six people cut in line? And it wasn't just like jumping in front of one person. They cut a significant portion of the line. And two, like, where are these kids' parents? I could probably tell you, but this is a family show. All right. So it's a situation like that. And so the question I have is, do you think that people who invade your personal space in a haunt, like other patrons who are invading your personal space, do you think that's disruptive? Do you think it warrants security or management coming up to that other person saying, like, dude, you need to stop? Or like, what do you think the solution to that should be?
I mean, this is where my West Coast will show. I don't pay, like, people could be like all up in my like little personal bubble, and they don't exist. Like, it's just a sheer wall of Seattle freeze. Like, it's another block of ice. Like, I don't think about it at all. And the only thing that I could think of is, like in like memory, like while you're talking about that, is that, definitely had, you know, like, other patrons, probably like 2-3 groups behind me, but they were runners.
Oh gosh.
So all of a sudden, like, they were my group, but like my group just continued to, you know, we're going through the haunt, like do, 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 do. And like, they were running, they wanted out, like, and so they were on like a marathon. And so there was like a hot second where they like run through the scene that we were going through. But I meant they were immediately like back out. And that's kind of like the only case. And like, obviously they weren't trying to be disruptive. It was just, again, one of those fear responses. Some people just run, and they were running. But I don't know. I've had other guests that would be really scared, like in front, and they'll end up to be a part of my group. Just mostly of like, no, you go first. No, you go first. Hey, stranger, you look like you're not having any issues with the big, scary people. You go first, you know?
That's the Midwest in you thinking that like people are like that at all.
Yeah. Nice. Just randomly. Nice. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, might you bump into somebody. It might be rubbing off on me. Tell your folks it says hi.
Watch out for deer.
I have an interesting question I just thought about.
Okay.
As reviewers, since we're both reviewers, all of us are reviewers. So a lot of haunts that we go through, I like to go slow because I like to take in the atmosphere and look at stuff. I mean, especially if it's a new haunt I've never been through. Have you ever been like, has security ever came up to you and told you to go faster or like move along? Like they think you're being disruptive by being slow. Cause I've had that happen
only
before.
Once.
Okay.
Only once it's happened to me, and it was not a review visit, but I was kind of in that review frame of mind.
Okay.
So I was really taking my time, and I was like stopping and looking at scenes, trying to watch a particular effect more than once. And it wasn't security. It was like, you know, management. It was somebody with a walkie, and they came up and they're like, hey, you need to go a little faster. Cause like, you know, people are complaining. I was like, oh, sorry. But when I go to review, usually I make it a point to speak with management before I do any attractions. Just one, so I can get a little bit of backstory about the place, learn about them, you know, things that I can put into the review. But I also take it as an opportunity to explain to them, like, hey, look, so when I go through, I like to go a bit slower than most people just because, like, I want to take in the whole scene. I want to be able to describe it in my review. And, you know, like, I want to see the really cool shit and I want to examine it. And
yeah.
For the most part, like, places are like, yeah, that's totally fine. I'll let all of our people know. I'll get on the radio and let them know that when you come through, you're going to be going a bit slower. They go, you know, just so you know, like if there's a large group that's kind of nearby, they may want to send them through first. Like, that's completely fine.
Yeah, I feel like the same. Like, I feel like whenever I miss an effect, I want to see it. like if it's like an animatronic that, you know, if I'm in, like behind a big group and I miss it, like I want to see it. I want to see what it does. So I feel like that's where I get in trouble the most is when I miss an animatronic. I'm like, oh, I wanted to see that. So I go back, try to check it out. Keep moving. Oh, okay. But yeah, we try to warn them and everything. You know, we're here for a review. We want to do the. I don't know if not everybody's communicated to or what happens, but
right.
I always seem to get yelled at. So
and not every actor is going to know that. You know, not every actor is going to know that when you go in, unless you tell them a few days ahead of time, so that way they can communicate that to the whole staff. You know, because usually. And I know this probably isn't the case for every single haunt out there, but I would say for most serious haunts, before they take their places for the night and before they put their show on every night, management is usually having a pre-show meeting with them, giving them, you know, little updates like, hey, don't forget, we've got reviewers coming through. Make sure you're on your A game, this, that, the other. You know, so like that would be the sort of thing that they might want to put in those notes. Like, hey, by the way, we've got somebody from the Scare Factor coming. They mentioned that they're going to be going through a little bit slower because they want to check things out. They want to really see and take it all in. So if you see somebody like wearing a Scare Factor t-shirt and they're kind of standing there looking stupid, they're not drunk or high. They're just, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of like that kind of loops into the topic that we were talking about is like disruptive guests. So do you think like as reviewers, us going slow, would that be, you know, destructive or disruptive to a lot of guests? Or is it just tends to be on like, no, it's a busy night. Come on, we got to keep pushing people through and you're not going like the normal time amount. Because I don't think slow guests would be my problem. They can be if they like stop,
yeah,
for sure. But
I think this is going to be a very nuanced answer, and it's going to depend on a lot of things. Primarily, I think it's going to depend on, are you going by yourself like I frequently do, or are you there with three other people like some other teams do? Also, is it super busy or is it kind of slow? You know, so I think like in any case where you're kind of stopping in the middle of a scene, no matter if you're one person or you're four people or whatever, it can be disruptive to any other guests that happen upon you. But I think like it's pretty well minimized, right? Like maybe another group is going to walk into that scene while you're standing there. But if you're not in the way and you're not impeding them, you know, they could just go around you. You know, and then you're going to go up to the next scene and like you might run into another one. Like, I don't think you're affecting that many people, but that begs the question, like, are the kids who are, you know, fighting with each other in line? Yeah, they're affecting the people who are immediately next to them. But how many people are they really affecting?
Yeah, there's a popular haunt in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I won't say the name, but the last few times I've been there, this hasn't been a review. It's just for fun because I love going to year-round haunts. And the last few times that we went there, like, we got yelled at for stopping because there's, like, whenever we go, I feel like we get put with a group of, like, 10. It's usually just me and my husband. So, like, we go through and we're, like, huge haunt enthusiasts. So, like, we always try to go at the end because we don't want to be disruptive and just stop and like, but we want to see everything. And, you know, we tend to go slow. So we let everybody go in front of us. We're trying to be respectful. So the last time we went, I was like, we were at the end of the group and there was like a, I think it was like a clown animatronic that came down and it went off like super early. So we never got to see it. So that was like one time we're like, well, we want to see him come back down. Like, we want to see it. So we did stop and there was somebody that came out and he's like, you need to keep moving. And we're like, we're not trying to touch anything, you know, but you know, it's in an area where it's big into moonshine and stuff. I'm sure they get all kinds of assholes that are drunk that come in there and cause problems. So I can understand why they yelled at us, but I mean, I try not to do it a lot. You know, I don't want to be disrespectful. I just want to see their show and I want to see everything. And sometimes when you're in a bigger group, you don't see it all. So I, you know, I try to be respectful and I, you know, we stop, but we keep going. But, or we try to go slow and, you know, we're not with that group and they yell at us to go back with the group. And I'm like, well, we weren't with them in the first place, you know? I mean, they're just like some random family and they're going quick. I mean, what do you do? Right?
Yeah. And I specifically ask when I go to haunts, sometimes they'll try to send me with a group of like two or three. And I get it. They're just doing it for, you know, their own logistics of like, we need to keep this line moving. But especially when I'm there to review, I will specifically ask not to. And I ask not to for a couple of reasons. One, I want to make sure that I'm seeing all the scares. Because like if I go with another group, being an actor, I know that most actors are trained to scare to the middle of a group. And I know that, like, if I get put in a group with, let's say a couple, right, a 20-something couple, and maybe they've they've brought like their little sister along, who's, I don't know, 16 or 17 or something. Like, I already know the two people who are going to be targeted the most. And it doesn't really help me as a reviewer, because it's like, one of the things we review when we go to any haunt is, are they effectively providing scares to an entire group? So like, yeah, it does let me see, like, are they trying to target the whole group? Are they targeting certain parts of the group? But the problem is, and I say this as a former actor, when you see a girl coming through looking scared, shuffling her feet, you already know who your target is. So it's not helpful to me, because it's like, I already know everybody's targeting those two girls. You know, I'm not getting any of this action. I'm not seeing the full force of that scare, which I do want to see a lot of times. You know, so it's like, I'll specifically ask, like, please don't put me with another group. And for the most part, like, I think haunts are fairly accommodating to that. But other times they're like, sorry, we can't. We've got to send you through. I'm like, Jesus, fine.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then I'll just intentionally go slow and lose them. But yeah, it's Tiffany, is that pretty normal for you? Do you try to go alone, or do you prefer to have other people around you?
My group is three people. So we generally tend to go as a group. That's a lot for kind of like, for me, it's also logistical in that me by myself, I feel like I'll miss stuff. It also creates a bigger target for actors to pop out at any, you know, any of us. I think if I designed more than just my team, I probably would have a team of about the same, anywhere from three to five. And so if I was added to like regular guests that weren't reviewing, me personally, I wouldn't mind. I would probably be in the back, because being a reviewer, you tend to be a little bit slower. But also at the same time, like, I really like kind of watching other people's reactions, because sometimes as a reviewer, you're paying so much attention to like, oh, okay, yeah, that's how that works. Or, oh, okay, that's where they're coming from. And you don't really get that element of surprise per se. It happens sometimes, but not too often. And so by watching either your group, right, having a larger team, or having, I've had friends join me. And so they would go ahead and pay their way, but we would go as like a group, because then I would be able to watch people that like paid and they want to get scared and like get to see their reactions. And it's very like organic and kind of like live vicariously through them, at the thing. So I've never asked to like go by myself. It happens sometimes though, like once haunt owners or haunts know that you're a reviewer, they like give you a lot more time and a lot more space.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So you don't
appreciate.
Run into people. Yeah.
Agreed.
And so it depends on like which one. I don't specifically ask for it. The only time I don't like it is really, really, really busy. Like the weekend before Halloween busy. just reviewing is really difficult. And the idea is that you're constantly going almost from one conga line to another. And I think that's like the hardest to review, is when you're in a conga line. And even like understanding of like, yeah, no, when you show up on the busiest night of the year, you're going to be in a conga line.
Yeah.
So I try not to review on those days, to be quite honest. I just go attend for my own fun type of thing, just because I just, that's the only time that I was like, yeah, I much rather have that space. Or go by myself or something like that. But that's just not practical at that time of the season.
Okay. All right. So we're coming up on our time here. Do we have any final thoughts? After all this discussion, do you think, and I'm looking for a yes or no here, I'm not looking for a ton of justification, do you think that haunts are doing enough to stop or reduce abusive behavior? Joanna, go.
Yeah, I think that they do. A lot of haunts that I go to have security, or they have some sort of, like, some of them actually pay cops to be there to, you know, the show that they have some sort of security there, as far as, you know, and they go over procedures with the haunters and the actors, and they're like, if this happens, this is who you need to grab. If this, if certain situations arise, you know, this is what you need to do. So I mean, I do think, and you know, when someone sees somebody kicked out, they have to, it maybe registers in their head, hey, you know, I shouldn't be an asshole when I go through haunts. So the main, you know, that's the main thing they should get out of this is don't be an asshole going through the haunt. Just go there, have a good time, and that's what they're there for.
Okay. Tiffany, what do you think?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
You said yes or no. Yes, with no justification.
I said not a whole lot, but yeah, I mean, like, I'll stick with that. Yeah, I think haunts are doing, for the most part, enough to stop rowdy behavior, for the most part, and excessively dangerous situations. I think they're handling pretty well. You know, we've had some active shooter situations in recent history, but I think they could do a little bit more for the overly drunk patrons and the obnoxious teenager patrons. So with that being said, I realize it's been a couple of weeks, folks. I apologize. Life happens. We are humans, believe it or not. Yes, even me, the perfect Brian of Team Skeligor in Central New York. If you haven't already, like us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. I think we're on, are we on X, Twitter, whatever the fuck it is now? What is it when you make a post on that site now? Is it an excrement?
I'm not exactly sure.
Go find us on the social media, The Scare Factor. Go find our website, thescarefactor.com. Make sure you buy some things in the store. You can get a onesie for your baby with a Team Skeligor skull on it. And it's super adorable. Wouldn't you like that? Or you can go get the Team Zombillies hat. Or you could go get a Team Terror Techies iPhone case. Or, like, all sorts of cool shit. Go buy things. Give us your money. Do it. But I'm rambling now, so we'll see you sometime, I guess. And until then, stay scary.